Welcome, Robert Scheinfeld here, and I've just come on here as a quick introduction to this audio interview that I did recently that I thought might interest you as an overview, an introduction both to the teachings in general, but more specifically to what I call the ultimate key to happiness. Enjoy the interview, and I'll come back on at the end with a few concluding remarks.
You're listening to the Co-Creator Network. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Everybody, this is Maxine Taylor with another edition of Move Into the Magic, and I am so thrilled to have as my guest today Robert Scheinfeld. Now, if you have been listening to Move Into the Magic, you know that last week Robert was my guest as well, and he talked about his number one bestseller, Busting Loose from the Money Game, and his other bestsellers, Busting Loose from the Business Game, The Invisible Path to Success, and The 11th Element. However, today we are going to talk about his brand new book, The Ultimate Key to Happiness. If you have read the books that I've mentioned, the Busting Loose books, you know that they are life-transforming. When I first found out about Robert Scheinfeld, I had been told by a dear friend of mine about the book Busting Loose from the Money Game, and I kept that piece of paper that she'd written with his name and the name of his book on my desk for months. And I happened to be at a Matrix Energetics seminar, and from the podium, Richard Bartlett said, if you want to turn your life around completely, get a hold of this book, Busting Loose from the Money Game, and I did. And my life was totally turned around. And I was hooked. And so after reading those two books, Busting Loose from the Money Game and The Business Game, and many of you have read them, you know what I'm talking about. So when I found out that Robert had written this brand new book, The Ultimate Key to Happiness, and let me tell you, that title doesn't even begin to describe the information in the book, because you know Robert is such a forward thinker. He's 30 years ahead of his time. Everything he says blows you away. For those of you who have not yet been introduced to Robert Scheinfeld, he is a speaker, an author. He's a coach for spiritual awakening and consciousness expansion. And once again, words cannot even describe it. When you start reading this book, The Ultimate Key to Happiness, you're going to have to put it down and think about it, probably, because it is truly mind-expanding. It is life-transforming. And so I am thrilled to welcome Robert Scheinfeld. Welcome, Robert.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I want to give out your contact information before we go any further, because I know people are going to want to get in touch with you. If you would like information on everything that Robert has done, please go to his website, robertscheinfeld.com. Let me spell that for you. Robertscheinfeld, robertscheinfeld.com. And if you want specific information on this fabulous new book, I know you're going to want to get a copy of it. Go to happinessbook.com. Happinessbook.com. Okay, Robert, it is now your chance to talk. First of all, please give us a little background on you and how you came to write this, your latest book.
Well, I'm 55 years old at the time of this recording, and from age 12, my life really, although I didn't know about it for a long time, has been about first discovering and seeing what I call the truth with capital T's, being able to actually experience it myself, and then be able from that the deep experience personally to then share or offer what I call a debrief on what I saw and experienced through books and live events and coaching and programs and online courses and stuff. And for, I'd say, when I first left college in my early 20s, through my, I would say, late 30s, early 40s, I was seeking what so many people do. You know, I really wanted to have it all. I wanted to create a successful career. I wanted to make a lot of money. I wanted to, you know, live a wealthy lifestyle. I wanted to be happy. I wanted to have relationships that worked. I wanted to be healthy. You know, I really wanted to have the classical have-it-all kind of a scenario. And so I was in search of a way to be able to do that. And from having studied mainstream self-help and personal development and let's call it metaphysical or esoteric or whatever you want to call it approaches, I tried just about everything, and I could not make that happen. And I either was not able to create what I wanted at all, or I was not able to hold on to it. Like business and money, I was able to create huge successes, but then I'd lose it all. And in terms of being happy, in terms of making relationships work, I couldn't make relationships work, didn't have a lot of friends, was never able to make a relationship with a woman really work. It was always painful, and I'd end up leaving very angry and frustrated and then scared to get involved again. And I just could never make it work, and I kept looking at all these typical prescriptions that were offered on the mainstream and metaphysical sides, and nothing seemed to either work at all or reliably. And so I went on a quest to figure out why. Because obviously there was either something that these experts, whether they were ancient or modern, either didn't know or weren't saying, or whatever, and there obviously was something going on behind the scenes that was creating what happens to all of us, and I wanted to know what it was, and I wanted to know how to finally be able to, let's call it, change, fix, and improve my own life. And then ultimately, when I discovered that, I wanted to teach it and share it, but it started out with, what's really going on? You know, what really creates our experience day to day? And what really determines what happens to us every day? And I wanted to find out what that force was and how to be able to tap it, you know, work with it, whatever you want to call it. And my own obsession with doing that to try to make my own life work is what ultimately led me to all of my discoveries, including the ultimate key to happiness discoveries, because I just, you know, I was not a happy camper in my childhood. And all the way up to, I would say, my early 50s, I still was not a happy camper, and I wanted to be. I was tired of being angry and frustrated and feeling like a victim and having all these negative emotions and thoughts swirling around in my head all the time and distrusting people and all this kind of stuff. And I needed to find an answer because I was drowning in all of that. And so my own personal struggles, my own personal failures to create what I wanted by using the typical prescriptions, whether they were mainstream again or metaphysical, is what led me to the discoveries, the sharing, and the teaching that I've done.
Well, this teaching, this latest book, I shouldn't be surprised, because when I read the first book that was your number one bestseller, it blew me away. This book, I'm still absorbing it. And I agree with you, everybody wants to be happy. But you have a much different approach to happiness, to the definition of happiness. I'm still processing, Robert, is what I'm saying. I will read your book again and again, I know. And the funny thing about reading your book is the whole book is underlined. It's highlighted. And I'm thinking, well, rather than just going back and rereading my underlinings, my highlights, just read the entire book. Tell us, please, your definition of happiness, or if you want to start with a definition of happiness that isn't true.
Well, there's a couple of what I call big problems as it relates to being happy. You know, everybody wants to be happy, but very few people are. And the people that think that they're happy, again, there can be exceptions to everything, but the people that think they're happy, they're nowhere near as happy as they could be. It's just tip of the iceberg kind of thing. And there's two reasons for that. First, even though everybody wants to be happy, from my experience, very few people take a really close look at what happiness really is. And if you don't know what something is, if you can't hit a target if you don't know what it is. So that's one of the big problems. It seems like it's so obvious what happiness is, but it isn't. And very few people take the time to explore that. And the second big problem with being happy is that most people have accepted a definition of what happiness is, again, without really having explored it. They just accepted what they were taught that is not true. And there are so many books and courses and techniques and counseling and therapies and stuff out there that are supposed to help you be happier or happy, but they're based on that same inaccurate definition of happiness. And so because they're based on that, it fails. And what most people think is that, and what we've all been taught, and again, it seems so obvious, except it's not, and it's incorrect when you look, is that we've all been taught that there's positive emotions, and those are the ones that feel really good, and we like them, and we'd like to keep them, and perhaps maybe even feel them a little more strongly or intensely. And then there's, and those are emotions like happiness, excitement, peace, serenity, you know, there's a million different names. But, and then we're taught that there's also these negative emotions, and we don't like those. We want to get rid of those. You know, if we could delete them like we can delete a computer file, we would really love it because we hate them, you know, and we call these anger and frustration and fear and depression. And if we could either make them go away completely or we could muffle them, which a lot of people try to do, you know, it could be exercise, it could be drinking, it can be drugs, you know, we either want to get rid of them or we want to muffle them or hide them or whatever it is because we really hate them and we think that they feel bad. And so what happens is, we create a war, if you will, on the negative emotions. We think they're awful and terrible, and so we go to war against them, trying again to find a way to make them go away or to muffle them. You know, if we can't make them go away, at least muffle them so they don't feel as bad. And again, it seems really obvious that that's true, but it's not. The reality is, which we can go more into, you know, we will, is that there's no such thing as negative emotions and positive emotions. There's just emotions. And the real ultimate key to happiness, which is where the title of the book came from, is not finding a way to make the negative emotions go away, because that's never going to happen. We will never win that war. The ultimate key to happiness is realizing that the negative emotions and positive emotions don't exist. There's just emotions. And that it's possible to, whatever word you want to use, enjoy, welcome, appreciate, whatever, all of the emotions, but to be able to do it without the names, without the labels, and without the judgment. So it's to be able to experience all of the emotions for what they really are, but we don't call it anger and frustration and happiness and peace and serenity anymore. We just experience what the emotions really are that we'll get into in a minute. Without names, without labels, and without the positive, negative judgments. That's the only way out. That's the only way into true happiness, because as long as you think there's positive and negatives, and the negatives are bad, you're never going to be happy, because there's always going to be what you perceive to be negatives. And the solution, again, that I discovered, again, this isn't some cool, fancy theory. This is very practical. This is something that I experience every day. It's something that people who've been exposed to this experience every day, and it's something that you can actually see for yourself. it's going to sound like ideas and concepts and theories in the little time that we have to talk about it here, but in the book, and there's also a multimedia course version of it that's available on my website, you're guided to actually be able to see the truth of what I just said. That there aren't really negative emotions and positive, there's just emotions, and all of them can be considered positive, or I guess you could say neutral, and that's the secret. But it's not an idea or a concept, you don't want to take my word for it. It's something you can actually see yourself, experience yourself, and be in a situation where you're happy all the time, no matter what's going on around you, and no matter how you would have once described how you were feeling a long time ago.
That is, that's not only groundbreaking, it's mind-blowing. That's very, very powerful. If people go to happinessbook.com, is that where they would go to see this wonderful visual that you just talked about?
Well, there's some free videos that are available on that site that will walk you into greater detail on what I'm talking about here and will talk about here than we have time for in this interview. And there's also just other information on the book. And also, if you happen to be listening and you're outside the United States, you're in Europe or you're in Australia or some other places around the world, there are some ways where you can actually get a book locally, a hardcover if you want one, at a bookstore yourself, and so you can get all kinds of information at that site, happinessbook.com.
Excellent, excellent, because what you're talking about is quite provocative. You are always ahead of your time, Robert, and I know every time you come out with a new book that it's groundbreaking and earth-shattering, because it is. It just absolutely explodes you beyond the boundaries, the box in which we often find ourselves. So what to you then, what is your personal definition of true happiness?
Well, here's the interesting thing, and I would invite everybody listening to either do this while I'm talking or do this sometime today after this interview is over, because we all experience a lot of emotions every day. And so at some point after this interview is over, you're going to experience one or more emotions, and you'll have the opportunity to do what I'm about to say. If you close your eyes when you're experiencing an emotion, and for a lot of people, including me, up until several years ago, they've never done what I'm about to say, and it's really mind-blowing, as you said, when you do this. If you close your eyes and you say, I'm feeling angry right now, I'm feeling happy right now, I'm feeling anxious right now, I'm feeling afraid right now. If you just close your eyes and you say, all right, I'm using those words, anger, fear, anxiety, happiness, peace, serenity, excitement, whatever, I'm using these words to describe something that's happening inside of me that I call emotion. So let's look and let's see, what is that? What am I really experiencing inside right now? And I'm using whatever word, whether it's on the so-called positive or negative side, to describe. So if you're experiencing an emotion of any kind, I would invite you to close your eyes and focus on, I call it inner space, whatever's going on inside of you, which is thoughts, feelings, and emotions, or bodily sensations. That's what goes on, what appears to be inside of you. I call that inner space. So it helps to close your eyes. You ultimately don't need to do this, but the first time you do, it's helpful. So close your eyes and focus in on that emotion that you're feeling. Again, whether you think it's positive or negative, and say, what's really going on there? What's happening? What you see is there's something that's inside of you that's moving in a certain way, and it has certain characteristics to it. Now, to make it easy to talk about, I just use the word energy. You could use any word, it doesn't matter. There's something that you're aware of that's moving inside of you in a certain way, and it's got certain characteristics. And so I call that energy. So if you're feeling what you might call anger, frustration, anxiety, depression, or you're feeling happiness, excitement, peace, whatever, and you close your eyes, you look inside, you'll see that there's this energy that's moving in a certain way. And sometimes it appears to move fast, and sometimes it appears to move slow. And sometimes it appears to be jagged, and sometimes it appears to be smooth. Sometimes it appears to be really loud and big and intense, and it kind of takes over your intention, and sometimes it appears to be quiet. But what we call emotion is this movement of energy that has these unique characteristics and movements. And what happened is, as we were growing up, we learned to look at this flow of energy, this movement of energy with these unique characteristics. We learned to say, oh, when it moves that way and it has those particular characteristics, that one's anger and that's uncomfortable and bad and I don't like it. Oh, and when it moves that way, then I call that depressed. And I don't like that one either. That's another bad one. And when this energy inside of me that's almost always moving somehow in some way with some unique characteristics moves that way, oh, well, that one's happy, and that one's peaceful, and that one's excitement, and that one's adrenaline rush or whatever you might want to call it, and that's a good one, and I like that. So there's this movement of energy that's moving all the time, and it's not anger, and it's not frustration, and it's not happy, and it's not peace, and it's not excitement. It's just this energy that's always moving. It's kind of like if you look at an ocean or a lake, you know, but an ocean's better. It's always moving, you know. Sometimes the waves are big. Sometimes the waves are small. Sometimes it's a tidal wave, you know. Sometimes they're really big after a storm, but it's just water moving. If the waves are big or small or whatever, it's not good or bad or positive or negative and whatever. It's just that's how the water is moving, you know. So this energy moves in and of itself. It's either always positive or it's neutral, you know, if you want to use those words. But we broke this movement into pieces, and we labeled the pieces, again, with names, and we judged some as feel good, I like that, give me more, and we labeled with other names and feel bad and get me the hell out of that because I don't like the way that feels. And then we locked those things in the mind, which we can talk about later, then anytime it sees that particular movement of energy, it instantly recognizes it as anger, negative, bad, excitement, happiness, good, you know, and then that's the way we think it's what's really going on. So true happiness, but the interesting thing is, and at what age this happens, you know, can be different for different people, but there was a time when all of us were kids that we were aware of this movement of energy inside of us, and we didn't know it was good or bad, feel good, feel bad. We didn't have the word anger for it. We didn't have the word happy for it. We just felt the purity of this movement of energy. We had to learn the names. We had to learn the positive, negative, feel good, feel bad judgments, but there was a time when we just experienced this movement of energy without that. True happiness is restoring that experience of emotions again, so that you're aware of the infinite variety of emotions and this the infinite variety of movement of this energy inside of you. You experience all of it in a wide variety, but you no longer break it into pieces, and you don't name it, and you don't judge it. There's no longer names for it, and there's no longer that one feels good, that one feels bad. They all feel good. That's the way I experience it, but if that's too much of a stretch right now, then you can say some of them are neutral and some of them are feel good. But that's what true happiness is from what I've discovered and personally experienced, and thousands of other people have experienced it at this point too, is not to make the negatives go away or to muffle them, but it's to continue to experience all the emotions that happen inside of us, but to be able to embrace all of them, welcome all of them, enjoy all of them, and appreciate all of them. And it's very doable, but I really need to say at this point, and I go over this in the book, in the course, Versions of Ultimate Key to Happiness, this is not some mind game, you know. You don't feel an emotion and call it anger and say that feels bad and then try to talk yourself out of it. Oh, no, that's not anger and that doesn't feel bad. That actually feels good. It's just a name. It's not some technique to try to take a negative and turn it into a positive. It's not trying to talk yourself out of it. It's that something happens in your life, you become aware of an emotion, and your natural experience is that it's all positive or, again, neutral. That's just what happens automatically. That's what your experience is. And it's very possible for everybody listening to move into a relationship with emotions like that. And it isn't something that takes years or lifetimes of work. I mean, it could, but it can happen very quickly. We'll talk about the possibilities for that later on in the interview. But that's what true happiness is. It's realizing positive and negative really don't exist except in a story told by the mind. And it's being able to experience the wide variety of emotions that are there, including what you now call negative, but to perceive them all as positive, just to use that label.
Well, that entire concept flies in the face, as you said, of everything that we've ever been told, everything we've ever learned. And I'm so thrilled in your book that you have included a chapter on questions. Because I can hear our listeners right now saying, well, wait a second. Are you trying to say to me that, and you can fill in the blank with whatever their example, say a car crash where there's been an automobile accident, the car is demolished, and, you know, perhaps they're injured, and they're challenging, their mind immediately challenges and says, well, how do I stand back and observe this as the witness when I'm in physical pain, emotional pain, and I'm soon going to be in financial pain? How do you reconcile that? You know, the mind will certainly come up with all of these yeah, buts. And when it first occurs, when we first listen and we first read the book, perhaps the mind is saying, well, that sort of puts me in neutral. Do I not feel? Can you address that? I know you address this in your book, but for our listeners, can you address that?
The question of do I stop feeling or something?
Yes, that's a great, yes. How do I?
Well, imagine it this way. Imagine that you're at home and you're watching a movie. And as you're watching the movie, there's stuff that's going on the screen, and then there's people talking, and then there's a musical soundtrack. And sometimes when there's a movie, there's a narrator, you know, the narrator that's talking about the action that's happening in the movie. If you're watching a movie like that and you turn off the sound, the movie's still happening. The action's still happening on the screen. Nothing actually changes to what's happening. You just don't hear the music anymore, and you don't hear the people talking about stuff anymore. When you're experiencing true happiness, there's no rule or formula to this. If we were to talk to 1,000 people that were experiencing true happiness, they'd have different experiences. But in general, you don't stop feeling. And if we could somehow track what kinds of emotions did you experience over the last 10 years, you know, how many of them were quiet and how many of them were loud and how many of them, you know, were sharp and how many of them were smooth. If we just looked at the emotion itself, you know, again, when you close your eyes, you're feeling an emotion and you look at it, what's really there, you can see what the unique characteristics are of the emotions. So that doesn't change when you're experiencing true happiness, but it's just like you turn off the sound like you would with a movie, and the soundtrack that says that's anger, that's happiness, that's excitement, you don't hear it anymore. If you turn off the sound from the movie, you won't hear the music anymore, and you won't hear the narrator narrating what's happening, but everything's still moving. So you still experience all the emotions that you ever did. It's just that the soundtrack that used to say, this one was called this, and this one feels good, this one is called that, and this one feels bad, the soundtrack gets turned off. And you just continue to experience the wide variety of emotions, but you don't perceive them anymore as being broken into positive and negative, but you still feel everything you did. If you're in the really interesting thing is, this is a really good time to make an important point. Everybody who is listening has already experienced this, what I'm calling true happiness, many, 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 many times without realizing it. And since we're all different, I'll give you 3 examples of this so that we can hit everybody that's listening with something that the odds are they've experienced. The first example of this is a roller coaster at an amusement park or some other fast-moving ride, but let's just say a roller coaster. And I realize everybody doesn't like roller coasters, but if you like roller coasters, then this will be a really interesting example for you. And then I have two others in case you don't like roller coasters. When you're riding a roller coaster, you get buckled into the seat, and the car, you know, goes up and down and upside down and fast and slow and up and down and all this stuff. And as you're on the roller coaster, you're experiencing all kinds of emotions. And they're moving by really quickly. But in the 5 minutes you're on the ride or the 7 minutes or the 4 minutes or whatever, the mind does not engage and say, oh, now I'm feeling happy, now I'm feeling excited, now I'm feeling scared, now I'm feeling this, positive, negative. It's not doing any of that. The emotions are just whizzing by without labels, without descriptions, and without judgments. You're just feeling them all as they move through you very quickly. And there's a lot of different emotions that you feel as the car is moving up and down and all this different stuff, but you just experience them all. It's what I call the pure, raw experience. You're just experiencing the emotions without the labels, without the judgments, and then when the car pulls into the station at the end, you just go, wow, that was a rush. That was incredible. I love that. And a lot of times, particularly like with Space Mountain at Disneyland or Disney World, it's like, let me go do that again. And what's most appealing to us is experiencing all those emotions, boom, 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 like that, without the labels, without the judgments, positive, negative, without the descriptions, just being aware of that flow of emotional energy, again, what I call pure raw experience. That's true happiness, experiencing emotions in a variety without names or judgments or labels. Now, I'll give you a second example. If you love reading really great novels and you're really riveted by a novel, you know, you're turning the pages and you don't want to go to sleep at night because you're loving the story so much. As you're flipping the pages and as the story is unfolding in this great novel, the same thing happens. You're feeling all kinds of emotions as the story's unfolding, as you're flipping the pages. But you don't stop. The mind does not engage, and you don't stop and say, I'm angry right now. I'm frustrated right now. I'm happy right now. I'm joyous right now. You just experience these emotions without names, without labels, without judgments. Now, you could go back or you could talk to somebody else about the book and you could say, oh, God, when such and such was happening to the hero, I really felt da-da-da-da. You can do that looking back. But when you're actually flipping the pages and you're riveted by the story, you don't do that. You just experience the emotions like on a roller coaster. You just experience the movements of energy. You just experience the pure raw experience, but you don't name it. You don't judge it, you don't label it, and all of it's welcome. And in fact, just like the roller coaster, that's the real reason you're reading the novel in the first place, is because you want to feel all this stuff, but you want to feel it in what I call true happiness, without the names, labels, and judgments, but you want to feel the variety. So when you're reading a novel and you're really riveted by it and you're feeling all these things, that's true happiness. That's experiencing a wide variety of emotions in their pure state without the mind coming in and saying, that one's this and it feels good, and that one's that and it feels bad. The final example I'll give, which is carbon copy of the novel, is if you're watching a really great movie or TV show episode, but let's just say movie, same thing. You're not flipping the pages, but if you're really riveted by the story, in the 2.5 hours, 2 hours of a typical movie, you go through all kinds of emotions. You experience a wide variety of emotions as the seconds are ticking by. And again, if you were to talk to somebody about it or think about it after, you could say, oh, my God, when da-da-da-da happened, I was scared to death. When da-da-da-da happened, I was so mad at the bad guy. You know, but when you're actually experiencing the movie, you don't do any of that. Again, it's just boom, boom, boom. This movement of energy, that movement of energy, this movement of energy, that movement of energy, and you're just experiencing the pure raw experience. You're just experiencing the wide variety of emotions without breaking it into pieces and labeling it and judging it. And again, that's why we go to movies, because we want to feel all those emotions. Not just one emotion, but a wide variety of emotions. Sometimes, again, quiet, sometimes intense, sometimes loud, sometimes jagged, sometimes smooth. We want to feel all of that. That's why we go to the movie in the first place. If we didn't feel any emotions or we only felt one emotion the whole 2 hours, we would never go to a movie again. We'd never read a novel again. We'd never ride a roller coaster. We want this variety. And we perceive every part of the variety as positive, pleasant, welcome, appreciated, whatever. That's true happiness. So the trick here is, continuing this metaphor, in simple terms, is to be able to have the experience that you have when you're riding a roller coaster, you're reading a really great novel that you love and you're riveted by, or watching a really great movie. Experience your emotions like that, except in your own life, no matter what's happening. And as I said, that's very doable. That's how I live. And there's nothing special or unique about me. This is something that's been replicated by thousands of people around the world at this point who've embraced these teachings, is that you can experience emotions in your own life no matter what's happening. Whether you call it good news, bad news, tragedy, whatever, big success, victory, you know, it is possible. Very possible, very doable to experience the wide variety of emotions. Because, again, when you're in a movie or a novel, good stuff happens to the characters, bad stuff happens to the characters. Theoretically, you do experience what you could call anger, frustration, anxiety, fear, happiness, excitement, peaceful. That you experience the negatives, so to speak, and the positives when you're reading the book, when good things happen, so-called, and bad things happen, so-called. But you just experience it differently. And so to be able to do that in your own life, no matter what's happening, is what the ultimate key to happiness is all about, what the book and the course that I offer on it is all about, is how to actually do that. And it's something that everybody can do. And having that kind of a relationship to the wide variety of emotions is what I call true happiness.
Powerful. As you were talking, Robert, I know this book stands on its own, your latest book, The Ultimate Key to Happiness. I couldn't help but have the thought that, at least in my mind, the ability to do this for me, and I'm just one person, is predicated on the knowledge, the belief and the knowledge that our life is a movie and that we're here to enjoy. We came here for fun. I know that's predicated on your other two books that I adored. The ability, well, when we go to a movie, we go and we experience these things from the safety of the position of the witness, of the observer. We're observing a story. In my mind, that's what I'm doing with my life. I'm not living my life. I'm observing a life that I define as a movie. And it gives me the distance to observe it, to accept it, to participate from a totally different vantage point. Correct me if I'm wrong in my thinking, but that knowing that helps me understand this new concept that you're presenting to us. Again, I know that this book stands on its own, and it's not necessary to read the Busting Loose books. But it goes hand in hand. Am I making sense?
Yes, absolutely. The one thing I just want to clarify, and this is just, it's a bias of mine, and it may be just a word thing. There are a lot of spiritual practices, and there are a lot of mainstream self-help and psychological techniques that recommend that you move into this so-called witness position and that you create a distance between you and your experience. And the one thing I just want to say is that what I teach and what the other teachings are about, as well as Ultimate Key to Experience, it's not about distancing yourself. It's not about separating things. It's not about witnessing things like you do in a movie. This is, to me, one of the gifts and one of the reasons that we're all here having what I call the human experience or participating in the human story, is that if you, for example, it's true of a movie, it's true of a TV show, but I just want to use the example of a novel to keep it simple. If you're reading a novel, there's always a hero, you know, or there's main characters, but there's always a hero, you know, there's a primary character. And as we're reading the book, again, if you're watching a character in a movie or TV show, same thing. we get an idea of what they're thinking and they're feeling. But there is a distance, as you said. There's a separation. We're not them. So we get a glimpse into what they're feeling, and we can be very moved by what's happening, but we aren't them. We're in the theater watching it, you know. We're in the sitting in a chair reading the book. You know, I'm fond of using the example of Harry Potter because it's just a novel that the odds are everybody's read or at least they know about. We know an awful lot about Harry Potter when we read the books. We know what he's thinking. We know what he's feeling. We have an idea. But it's not the same thing as if we stepped inside Harry Potter and we actually heard his thoughts, so to speak, when he was going through all of this and felt all of his emotions. The great gift of the human experience and what makes it different from a movie or a novel or a TV show is that we actually, our consciousness, if you will, becomes the character. It would be like if you were reading the Harry Potter books or you were watching a movie and you stepped into the screen if it was a movie and you became one of those characters. You thought everything they thought. You felt everything they felt. And you had a much deeper, more profound experience of the story by becoming a character versus watching a character, you know, no matter how much information you're given. It's like, if you have a good friend or you have a mother, a father, brother, sister, really good friend, and they're going through a really emotional experience, you may empathize with them. You may feel something intuitive, but it's the same thing. You're not them. You're not having the actual experience. There's a distance. And I'm not advocating distance here or, again, muffling emotions or whatever. The great gift of the human experience and human story is that we are the star of a particular story. And, yes, we are aware of everything that's happening. But it's what I call a total immersion movie experience because we actually become a character and can have so much more of a deep and profound experience of the story than we can reading a novel or watching a movie because we get to feel everything, see everything, think everything that the character is. We're totally immersed in that character, and that's what makes this human experience so extraordinary. So I just wanted to make that clear. I'm not jumping on your use of the word, but there's a lot of stuff that's out there that actually does advocate that you distance yourself or separate yourself. Psychological techniques, again, to muffle emotions or do different kinds of things, and that's not what I'm all about. It. You couldn't be more involved in what's happening with you. It's just that your relationship with everything that's happening to you is a truthful one, with a capital T, instead of based on lies, illusions, and stories.
Excellent, excellent. It's in other words, it's not, you're not judging it, you're living it.
Yeah, and there's no distance. You're fully immersed in everything that's going on with you. You just have a different relationship with it. But you're not disassociating from it. You're not detaching from it. You're not distancing yourself from it. You're not muffling. You're not protecting yourself. You know, you're fully immersed in all the emotions you're feeling. You're fully immersed in everything you're thinking. You're fully immersed in everything your body's feeling. You're fully immersed in everything that's happening that appears to be outside of you. But what I'm all about, what Truth with a capital T is all about, is experiencing all of that, everything inside of you, everything outside of you, in a radically different way. And in the context of the book, it's being able to be truly happy all the time, no matter what's going on around you. And that's, again, just your experience. That's what comes up. It isn't that anger comes up and you make it go away or you turn it into happiness, or depression comes up and you use some technique and you turn it into good feeling. It isn't like that. It's that the negatives don't even come up anymore. The names and judgments don't come up anymore. I experience every day in my life emotions the same way that I explained it for the roller coaster, the novel, and the movie. Words like anger and anxiety and depression and excitement, they don't even come into my mind anymore. And there's no trace of anything anymore that says that one feels good, that one feels bad. It's just all, again, whatever you want to use, fascinating, enjoyable, pleasurable, positive, whatever. That's how I experience all the emotions, even though there was a time that, like most of the people listening, I would have broken them into pieces and labeled some as this name and that name and positive and negative, feel good, feel bad. It's really, like you said before, it's literally mind-blowing because it's the mind that hijacks this flow of emotional energy and breaks into the pieces and labels it and judges it and then convinces us this really feels bad and it's called anger and this really feels good and it's called Happy. And so the secret to all of this, which again is in the book and it's in the course, is in essence going in and stopping the mind from hijacking it. And the net of it is, as I said, except it's even better for the reasons I just explained, it becomes very similar to the way you experience emotions in a movie when reading a really great novel. The mind doesn't engage there, but it engages in our day-to-day lives. And so what I've discovered is a way to turn off, I call it the mind machine, that is the one that's breaking it into the pieces and telling you that's anger and it feels bad, that's happiness and it feels good. It's stopping that whole thing. And I call it introducing a truth virus into the mind machine that changes all of that so that you ultimately experience your emotions again very similarly, except better, to how you experience them on a roller coaster when reading a really great novel, when watching a really great movie.
I love the expression, the truth virus. When I saw that, you know, he's captured it. And you explained it so well. Can you go into a little more for our listeners about the truth virus?
Well, most people are familiar with the term virus as it applies to the body and as it applies to a computer. When a virus is introduced into the body, there's something new that gets introduced into the body, and it starts to interact with the cells of your body, and it changes the way the cells interact with function. And when the cells change their function, then we experience symptoms, you know, whether it's a runny nose or it's a cough or it's a headache or whatever else it is. So one element interacts with another element, changes that element, and then something changes. With a computer virus, the computer has files and programs and all this stuff on it. And when a computer virus is introduced into a computer, it's a similar kind of a thing. There's a new program that gets introduced into the computer. It interacts with the files and the programs and stuff on the computer, and it deletes stuff, and it rewrites stuff, and it corrupts stuff, and it changes it. So all of a sudden, the computer starts to operate in a different way. Similar kind of a thing. A new element is introduced into a system, and it changes the way that system operates. So what I discovered is a way of introducing a similar... Now, those viruses are considered bad. You know, they have negative influences on the computer and the body. But the truth virus operates in a similar way, except it's a positive virus. It does good things instead of bad things. And so what I discovered is a way to introduce something into your mind, into what I call the mind machine, that changes the way it processes emotion, if you will. It turns it off. You know, it gives the mind machine, if you will, a new job and a new way of dealing with things. And that's what the book's all about. That's what the course is all about. And as this virus that I call the truth virus is, works its way through your system, through your mind, whatever you want to call it, it makes these changes that become permanent. And then the next thing you know, and again, this is not you using a technique over and over and over and over and over again, or affirming something or visualizing something or being hypnotized. It's nothing like that. But this truth virus that gets introduced by reading the book or going through the course works its way through the mental system, if you will, that was trained to break emotions into positive and negative and good, feel bad, and this name and that name. And it dissolves that whole thing. It stops that whole mechanical thing from operating so that you go back to experiencing emotions the way you did as a kid and the way you do when you read a really great novel or watch a really great movie, or when you're riding a roller coaster, if you like those. And this is something, again, that I experienced myself, this truth virus operating. And for some people, it can operate very fast. For other people, it's something that would take weeks or months. I suppose it could take years for certain people if that's part of their story. But in general, it can work very quickly once it's introduced. But I always tell people to be very patient, because although we would all have the desire for the change to happen instantly or yesterday, sometimes the best thing for us is for big changes to unfold over time so that we can really appreciate the journey from point A to point B. But this is not something, again, that in general takes decades or lifetimes or that requires a lot of effort by you. the virus simply has to be introduced, and then it'll do its work on its own, and you'll notice things beginning to change for you. But again, there's not a daily to-do list or technique that you have to use. Once you're able to look into inner space and see what's going on, and the truth virus has done its work to a certain point, you'll see all of this. You'll verify all of this for yourself. And the book goes into great detail on this, as does the course. And then once the truth virus has done its work to a certain point, you just start to experience emotions differently, and then more differently, and then more differently, until it goes back to experiencing, again, what I call the pure, raw experience of emotion, which is the way we were as kids and the way we are on roller coasters when we're riveted by a great novel, when we're riveted by a great movie or TV show.
Well, you know, Robert, listening to you, I've been riveted by everything you're saying, and I know that our listeners are too. I love the idea of the truth virus, and I think your book begins that process, at least I feel like it did for me, because once you see the truth, once you read the truth, once it is introduced to you, you can't unring a bell. It's there. But one of the, I know my listeners, our listeners are saying, well, how can I introduce the truth virus? You talk about throwing wrenches in, and we've got a little time left. Please elaborate on that if you would. But I feel, just in listening to you, the few minutes we've been on the air, and I'm not going to put a label on it, incredibly different.
Well, and that's the key, and I just want to start by emphasizing it's very easy for somebody to listen to what I just said, to even get the book, to even get the course, participate in it, and kind of say, wow, that was cool. That's a lot of really cool ideas, and it just stays at the idea and concept level, and maybe people agree, maybe they won't agree. But the thing that's so powerful here is that there's the opportunity to look again into what I call inner space. And to see what's happening with emotions, and the book and the course support you in doing this and can accelerate the introduction and deployment of the truth virus. But the reality is, and again, people are different. Most of us never look in inner space. We never say, what is it that I'm calling an emotion, like I said before? What's really going on inside of me that I'm calling anger right now? What's really going on inside of me that I'm calling happy right now? What's really going on? We don't look at it. And sometimes, if you're like I used to be, they're really loud, aggressive, sharp emotions, you know, like what we would have called anger, frustration, anxiety, fear. They get blown up. I call it the zoom effect. They get zoomed so big in our minds that we can't even see what's really going on. We're so, I call it, mesmerized or hypnotized by this movement of energy and the story about it, anger feels bad or whatever, that we can't see. But if you're able to just, again, in the beginning, I would recommend closing your eyes. Look, some people can instantly see this, and some people, it's so hypnotic and mesmerizing that they need some support to what I call quiet down the noise or the congestion or the zoom of what's going on to really be able to see this. But the power is in actually seeing this for yourself, not accepting an idea or a concept or rejecting an idea and a concept at the intellectual level, but looking. And every single thing that I've said here and every single thing that I talk about in the book and the course version of it, you can witness yourself. It's just a question of what's it going to take for the activity in inner space to slow down enough, to decongest enough, for you to be able to see what's going on. But you can see this. You can actually see that there's this movement of energy, and there's a particular movement that has certain characteristics, and it shows up inside of you, and then the mind comes in and hijacks it, and it's lightning fast, but you can actually see it, that this feeling showed up. The mind jumped on it and said, anger, bad. This feeling showed up. The mind jumped on it and said, peaceful, good. Excitement, good. And you can see this actually happening. And the more you can see it, the more the whole thing breaks down. And again, you're able to get a reset, if you will, and go back to the way you were as a kid, the way you are in movies, roller coasters, and reading a great novel, which is the mind not doing that, and you just experiencing the emotions for what they are and appreciating all the variety. But nobody has to get the book. Nobody has to get the course. It's very helpful. Some people listening to this will be able to write from all that we've talked about here, be able to start actually looking and examining what's going on inside of them as it relates to emotions. They'll be able to see this. It'll start to break down the mechanical operation of the mind machine, and they'll be able to experience true happiness without any other support. But a lot of support can be given to accelerate that, to make it more clear, to give you a lot of other pointers and helpers to be able to do that and make that happen, which is why I wrote the book. And then some people don't like reading as much, or they also like seeing visuals and hearing a voice and multimedia. So that's why I created the course too, because different people like absorbing information and having it something like this truth virus introduced in different ways. Some people love books. Some people love other things. Some people love both. But that's the opportunity. And again, what I invite everybody listening to do is from now on, and you won't always be able to do this because the mind machine jumps in immediately and it's so fast, but is to start examining what's really happening inside of you as this movement of energy changes its characteristics and the way it moves and how it moves, is to start watching it. And the more you watch it and the more you're able to see what's actually going on, the more you'll be able to create this reset, enable this truth virus to alter the way all of that works, and the book and course can support you, but there's a lot that you can do on your own starting right now just by looking based on what you've discovered here in this brief time we've spent together.
It sounds like the beginning of a fabulous, and there's a judgment on that, of course, but a wonderful adventure, because to me this is the next step, not just reading it, not just hearing about it, moving into it, observing the inner space, taking it to the limit. And I know that I'm just speaking for myself, but when I put the book down after reading it, I thought, and the next grand adventure now begins. Because it's not about talking about it, although on a radio show that's what we do, but it's about living it and experiencing it. And I'm so grateful to you, Robert, for not only writing this book, but coming here and sharing enough so that our mind machine can begin to start chewing on it, or at least for those who are, if I'm hearing you correctly, those who are able to just get it and move into the next step of their own life movie, which is thrilling. That's why we came here. We came here to enjoy, to play, to... the only thing I can call it is move into the magic of life. And once again, you have discovered, uncovered within yourself another piece of a grand puzzle that expands and explodes our own personal universe. And I that's exactly how I feel. So...
That's how I feel, too.
Oh, wonderful. Well, maybe that's why I'm so thrilled to always welcome you as my guest. And again, when your next book comes out, please let me know. I know my listeners are hanging on every word. And so once again, Robert Scheinfeld. Listeners, you can contact him at robertscheinfeld.com. And if you want more information on this incredible new book, The Ultimate Key to Happiness, go to the other website, happinessbook.com, and join me again next week when once again we move into the magic. So, until then, this is Maxine Taylor saying, remember, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Okay, that concludes the interview. I hope you found it informative, enlightening, eye-opening, lots of ahas and such. As you heard mentioned in the interview, if you want to get more information on the Ultimate Key to Happiness in specific, where there is both the book and the multimedia online course available or the other teachings available through my sphere of influence. Just visit my main website, robertscheinfeld.com. That's R-O-B-E-R-T-S-C-H-E-I-N-F like Frank, E-L-D.com, robertscheinfeld.com, and explore the various resources available on the website, specifically the other resources available on the teachings page, and you'll see a teachings button at the top of the site, and also by exploring the options for people new to the teachings on the store button, which again you'll see at the top of the website. Thanks again for stopping by and downloading this audio, and please let us know if we can be of assistance to you in any way. Bye-bye for now.